Turn again this morning, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. While you're turning that up, can I welcome you all this morning to the Bible class? Trust the Lord will bless you if you've gathered with us, and our webcast viewers, wherever you're watching in from this morning, we trust the Lord will bless you as you join with us by this means. Ephesians chapter 6, reading together from verse number 10, please. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's just again unite our hearts in prayer as we come now to look at this portion this morning. And again, just take a moment here, prepare our souls before God. Here we are before him again this morning. And we thank God for that privilege, and yet we need him to speak to our hearts. And let's pray to that end that the Lord will minister to us even this morning. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God in our own mother tongue. And Lord, as we come to it now, we're fully aware of our need of God, the need of the help of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we bow before thee, worship thee as our God in the name of Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And we pray, Father in heaven, that thou will grant us the help of the Spirit. Lord, if this is to profit any man or woman's soul, then, Lord, thou must bless. And therefore we surrender ourselves entirely to God. I confess my inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. I pray, O God, that you'll come, empty me of self and sin, wash me in Jesus' blood, fill me with the Holy Ghost and power, and let the blood prevail. Bind the devil. Cannot deal with this subject. The devil not resist. And, O God, we pray for a binding of the strong man. We pray that this meeting, this service, will be in the victory of the cross. Let the blood prevail. Let Christ be exalted. Let God's name be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to return to this portion in Ephesians 6 and maybe bring the whole thing to a conclusion. Our study this morning on the armor of God. We've been considering now for some time this subject of the armor of God. And the last day I spoke with you, I didn't get as far as I had planned. But we did finish off verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We saw that day that the scriptures were written as holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We saw that the sword of the Spirit will lie at rest in our breast as long as we lie in the breast of Christ. But we dishonor Christ, it will awake and honor him still, and it will be to us that faithful friend that wounds us in our erring ways. Yes, truly, faithful are the wounds of this friend. Faithful are the wounds of this friend. This book, given by the Holy Ghost, it will never lead you away from Christ. It'll lead you to Christ. It'll never lead you from him. It will never lead you away from the will of God, but into the will of God. For the author is God. It will never lead you in that wrong way. If someone tells you that God told them to do something that quite clearly contradicts this book, well, quite clearly, God did not tell them to do it. God never contradicts his word. It's the sword of the Spirit of God.
But we leave the sword of the Spirit there. And by the help of the Lord, we move on here this morning into verse number 18 and 19. There it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Paul says, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We'll just take that first part to begin with, praying always with all prayer and supplication. I want you to understand, again, the setting here. Paul is writing from his prison cell. He's drawing his letter to an end by dealing with the spiritual warfare of the believer. And he says in verse 10, just to remind ourselves, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But in verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer. A believer who never prays will not be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. That's a reality. A believer who puts no emphasis on his or her prayer life is living as if there is no devil. They're living as if they're not in a battle, there's no devil, because strength and power to stand against temptation only comes by prayer. And as you read the word and pray over it, a church that has no prayer meeting definitely doesn't believe in a devil. Because prayer in the church or the life of a believer is a weapon of our warfare. It's not a mighty weapon because of who prays, as I said the other week. It's a mighty weapon because of the one we pray to. Praying always, Paul says. Or you could read it, commune with God always. You could read it like that. Commune with God always. Now, how do we do that? Always. We work. We have things to do. Paul says, praying always, or we could read it, commune with God always. Well, he says, with all prayer. Praying always with all prayer. And that little phrase, with all prayer, it means with all types of prayer. That's what it means, because there are different types of prayer. Matthew 6, verse 6, the Lord says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. There's closet prayer. There's public prayer. There's family prayer. There's silent prayer. There's urgent prayer. That's what Paul's meaning when he says praying always, or commune with God always, with all prayer, all different types of prayer: closet prayer, public prayer, family prayer, silent prayer, urgent prayer. That moment when the believer's walking down the street and temptation suddenly comes along, or at work and you sense danger or sin or some situation arising and you just can't get on your knees or go home and go to your closet. What do? You just let your heart go heavenward. It's prayer. It's prayer. It's part of your warfare. Now, it's not part of the armor of God in that it's not an actual object as all the other pieces were. You don't actually take something, but it's a part of our warfare. It's a weapon of our warfare that at any moment we can let our heart go heavenward. And it's as much prayer as any other type of prayer. Paul says, praying always with all prayer. That's what it means, all types of prayer. Turn to an example of that over in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 1. Nehemiah 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Nehemiah 2, now verse 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? Look what it says. So I prayed to the God of heaven, And I said unto the king. Now, he didn't go down on his knees. He didn't go to the closet. As he's in communion with the king, and the king says to him in verse 4, For what dost thou make request? He immediately lifts his heart to heaven, and the Holy Ghost tells us here, he prayed to the God of heaven. Just where he was. In the situation that he found himself with, in. And as he communes with the king, he's in communion with God. That's the thought. Because it says, so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king. I said unto the king. It's urgent, silent, ejectory prayer. And when Paul says, praying always with all prayer, just like Nehemiah here, as he spoke to the king, in his heart he's in communion with the Lord, and heaven recognizes it. As he spoke to this king on earth, Paul says, praying always with all prayer, with all prayer. He means all kinds of prayer. Closet, public, silent, urgent, family prayer. You see, the more you commune with someone, the more like them you get. Prayer gives Christ-likeness like nothing else will. Like nothing else will. But prayer also gives spiritual strength. Look now at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching, and it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, Luke 18, verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And not to faint. Without prayer, there will be spiritual weakness. There will be spiritual fainting, if you like. Now, we're not talking here, as I have said, about praying 24 hours a day on our knees or 16 hours a day. But what we're talking about is keeping ourselves from that which will break our communion with God and keeping up our communion with God. Be led by the Spirit and not being led by the flesh. Because Paul deals with this over and over again in his epistles. Put on Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? We do without that which would grieve the Lord and drive him away, and therefore we keep ourselves in his love. Give no place to the devil. Men and women, prayer is the great weapon of the church in its warfare. It would have been completely unthinkable for Paul to have dealt with spiritual warfare, the armor of God, these defenses, pieces of the armor, the sword then that takes us forward as the word is preached, and not to have brought in prayer. Because they're all tied together. Prayer defends the church. For it brings in the Lord who's our defense. When you sense danger, we pray. Prayer takes us forward. As Christ hears our prayer, an answer to prayer goes forth conquering and to conquer as the sword is wielded. You see how the armor, preaching, prayer, it's all connected. They're all tied in. How well furnished is the Christian soldier? Furnished with all they need to go forward with God. Those who have on the breastplate of righteousness know they're accepted by God today, know they're accepted by God tomorrow, know they'll be accepted with God forever. They have their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They've on the helmet of salvation. They think right. They walk right. They're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But Paul closes the armor with this point about prayer to show the connection between them all. Because you see, if you adjust the armor and never prayed, the armor cannot be effective except in communion with God. Dead orthodoxy does nothing for anybody. You could be all right in all doctrine, believe all the right things. But as the old hymn writer said, prayer keeps the Christian armor bright. You stop praying, you'll stop thinking, right? You stop praying, there'll be weakness in the wielding of the sword. Paul ties them all together. He ties them all together from that first statement when he said, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And then he ends it, bringing them back to the throne of grace. Ties it all in here with their warfare. It all comes together. And we can only be strong in the Lord as we pray, strengthened as we pray. Praying with all prayer. That means all types of prayer. Then he says, and supplication. So what does supplication mean? Well, supplication is what we actually pray for. With all prayer, that's all types of prayer, and then he says, and supplication. Now he gets to what we pray for. All types of prayer, with supplication, and then he says this, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. You see, Lloyd Jones, I read him in this, and I really actually wrote down what he said. He said, there are those who believe if you do not kneel in prayer in church, you are not praying. But to the apostle, what matters is whether your spirit is bowed before God. It's whether you're in the Spirit that matters. It's not the posture of the body, it's the posture of the soul. You can have a man bowed before God, on his knees, eyes closed, and not be praying. He's just saying prayers. But Paul says, let all your types of prayer and supplication be in the Spirit. It's not the posture of the body. And there's nothing wrong with kneeling, and there's nothing wrong with having your head bowed. It's very good. But it's not your merit before God. You're not heard by God because of the posture of your body. All the merits a believer has before God is the merit of Jesus Christ. Supplication in the Spirit, inwardly bowed before Him. And then Paul goes on to say this, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What's he saying? He says, don't only watch and pray for yourselves, watch and pray for others. Why? Because we are all in this together. That's why in the church prayer meeting, Mr. Greer will read out those who need our prayers. Remember what Paul's dealing with here. He's dealing with the Christian warfare. He's dealing with the Christian soldier, but he uses the example or the analogy of a Roman soldier. It would have been unthinkable, let's go back to the trench, it would have been unthinkable to have a soldier in the trench who was not concerned or interested in those that were fighting alongside him. It would have been completely unthinkable, and the minute the general had seen it, he'd have removed him from the trench. He'd have removed him. That's what he'd have done. Because part of the soldier's training is to fight as a unit. They've trained together. They've got to know each other together. They've studied the enemy together. They've studied the enemy's tactics together. And then they fight together. Same army, fighting the same cause, fighting the same enemy. It would have been unthinkable for warfare to have been in that trench. The general would soon have come along and it would have been stopped. It would have been stopped. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. You know the story? David and Goliath. David comes to the camp, sent by his father, to see the brethren. When he comes, Goliath comes and flaunts himself at the Israelites. They're terrified. In verse 28, Eliab's, David's eldest brother, comes to David. Look what he says, verse 28. And Eliab's eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men. What had happened was David had heard this Goliath, and David asked who he is and what's he doing, and who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And then Eliab says to him in verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Eliab has a good go at him. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him to another. You see what David's saying? This giant's been taunting us for 40 days. Nobody can go against them. The Philistines are in the land, if you read the chapter. They've set up a camp. Israel are completely defeated, and you're having a go at me. That's really what he's saying. And David just turns from him, goes and talks to somebody else. It was no time for infighting. They weren't living in times of great spiritual prosperity. They were living with the Philistines in the land, and 40 days this giant has been coming and taunting Israel, and taunting their army, and Saul can't deal with it, and nobody can deal with it, and David comes and he simply asks a question, and Eliab has a go at David. And he just turned from him and went to another. What he's saying is, we have a bigger problem. We have a bigger problem. And you see, Paul's dealing here with the Roman soldier, and he says, don't just pray for yourselves. Pray for all saints, because we're all in this together. We have the same enemy. We have the same battle. We go through the same temptations. The Bible's clear on that. That's what we do. And then Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And supplication for all saints. For all saints. Yes, watching for them, constantly praying for them. That's what to do. That's what to do. Praying for each other. In fact, verse 19, Paul says this. Paul was never ashamed to ask people to pray for him. Never. He was the great apostle. He was the great missionary of the cross, the great preacher. He had seen revival. He had lived through it. He had established churches everywhere he went. The devil was continually against him. Paul was God's man. And yet Paul, over and over and over and over again, asked Christians who in gifts were inferior to him, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. See that word, bonds? He's in prison. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. It's really a remarkable request. It would not have been my request. I think we have to be honest. We would have been praying, get us out of here. Pray that we get out of this jail. Pray that we get out of these conditions. But not Paul. Not Paul. From the minute Paul arose from the dust of the Damascus Road, for Paul to live was Christ. For Paul to live was Christ, he says, and for me, in my bonds, in prison, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Because for Paul to live, irrespective of where Paul was, for Paul to live was Christ. That's what it was. And Paul has dealt here with the armor of God. He's dealt with the enemy. He has expounded this to these dear Ephesian believers. Remember that Paul had so come to Christ under his ministry. A church that was formed through riots. A church that was formed through great opposition. As multitudes left the worship of Diana and came to faith in Christ. And Paul, now from his prison cell, he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. and as he's writing about the wiles of the devil and warning the believer, encouraging the believer and telling them what to do, he's writing from his chains. He knows all about the wiles of the devil. And yet, he doesn't ask them to pray that he gets out. He asks them to pray that for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Wherever I am, wherever my Lord, remember those words he said in Acts 9, what wilt thou have me to do? And from wherever his Lord had led him, his prayer was that for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, confidently, without fear, to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bonds. In prison. What a man of God he was, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And dear believer, as I bring this whole thing here to a close, we could take that prayer upon our souls every day. Lord, whatever situation you bring me in today, grant me boldness that I may open my mouth, that I may open my mouth and speak boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, because that is our main reason for being here. God has called us out of nature's darkness, out of sin, into his marvelous light. He's brought us into the Christian army. He's furnished us with an armor. He's taught us of the enemy we face. He's taught us how to deal with them. He's taught us about the armor. God has called us. Our main aim in life is to make Christ known. And then, in God's time, to go to be with Christ. When our battle is done, this same Paul wrote to Timothy, the final letter he ever wrote. And he said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul fought this battle right to the end, faithful unto death. And may God give us grace to all do that, to labor on for God. Be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I trust the Lord will bless this study and the armor of God to every heart, and in our day and generation, that God will come and equip us and bless us mightily in these days. Let's all unite our hearts in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for this study in the armor of God. And we pray, O God, that you'll just bless it to every heart. And, O God, we realize the great warfare we're involved in. We realize, O God, the enemy that we have, the enemy of our souls, the enemy of the church, the enemy of Christ. And yet, O God, how well thou hast furnished thy bride. And, Lord, we pray that you'll pour out the Spirit upon us today, not just here, but our sister congregations, sister denomination, North America, all our missionaries of the cross, O God and Father of our Lord Jesus, come and visit us in these days and give us power as we stand against the wiles of the devil and take the church forward for which Jesus died, yea, even with an outpouring of the Spirit, and grant us movings of God in our day and generation. Lord, we have studied here the writings and Holy Scripture of this man of God, Paul. And O God, what movings of God he witnessed. And we pray, O God, that we'll experience something of those divine outpourings of the Spirit. And you'll come and bless the church for which Christ died. Hear prayer
bless in the Sunday school, bless the word in the junior Bible class, and go with us now, even shortly to the prayer meeting. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.